Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hey, I'm Glenn Davis. Hope the holidays are going great for you. We have assembled some of your favorite interviews from throughout 2017. So listen and enjoy. Reach out of space.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Gundogan, Sané, strolling. They are a thing of beauty, aren't they? Bernardo Silva. Dyer's missed it. Sterling's in. City strolling 4. Manchester City streaming away from the pack.
16 in a row for Manchester City. 11 points ahead of Manchester United. But you know what? It's an interesting time period over the winter break because the games come thick and heavy, and a lot of times there is some movement in the table. So let's see what happens here. But I don't foresee Manchester City getting knocked off by Bournemouth. And by the way, we have Warren Barton coming up later on the show. I will ask Warren about Ederson, the goalkeeper for Manchester City, because he is very, very unique. But this is our out-of-the-box segment right now, and it's a gentleman that, well, I was honored to know really likes the show, which is always a good thing. But David Cantu is joining me in studio here. He's currently the Assistant Veterans Service Officer for Harris County and President of the State Association of Veteran County Service Officers for Texas. What you need to know about him, he served 4 years in the Marines from 90 to 94, earning the rank of corporal. This is one that blew me away as well. 17 members of his family have served in the Marine Corps, and he previously worked for the Texas Veterans Commission as a veterans counselor. So he's doing amazing work here with veterans. I think our connection came because I think one day you heard me, David, as I welcome you in. Thank you so much for coming in. Well,
thank you for having me.
You must have, I guess I must have mentioned my father being alive and being a World War II vet in Okinawa, and maybe that, made the show a little bit more important for a moment or two.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and being a former Marine and you hear the story of someone's dad who served during World War II, of course you want to reach out to them and tell them, try to explain to them some, there's benefits out there. So, I mean, that was my initial reason for contacting you, to say, hey, is your dad getting everything that he's entitled to?
Well, I very much appreciate it. And, you know, it's amazing. I really respect how the Marines just honor, you know, all the Marines and really try to look after each other. It's very impressive. And I know it's not an easy job, though, because there's a lot of veterans out there. Sometimes it's hard to connect with, right?
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, sometimes when you get out of the service, it's a difficult transition trying to find the things that you need post-service. So, it's an honor to do what I do and inform those that need our services.
Now, your wife Natalie's up here. We've also got David here, and your other son's name is
Jacob.
And Jacob is here. Two good-looking guys, beautiful wife, and they're the recipients of we gave them a couple of soccer balls. I had to get with all the things you've been giving me, Marine-oriented. I figured I better start giving something back.
It's my pleasure to take care of your dad.
So, tell us a little bit about your job, because it is a very important one and what you do here in Harris County.
So, you know, your dad being a World War II vet, you know, in Texas and throughout the nation around the World War II time, counties started forming county service offices. And the reason being is because those World War I veterans were having difficulties getting the things that they were entitled to. So, you know, around the 1939, 1940 timeframe, you know, counties in Texas started forming county service officers to help those get the benefits that they earned.
David Cantu is joining us here, the Assistant Veterans Service Officer for Harris County. Harris County Veterans Services website, www.vso.hctx.net. There's a lot of great information there, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, and for those that are listening outside of Harris County, we also gave the website for the State Association of County Veteran Service Officers, which is vcsoat.com. And those that are outside of Texas that may be listening, if you're looking for a county veteran service officer, you can go to nacvso.org.
What's the part of your job you like the best? Because, you know, you are connecting with brethren, aren't you?
Yeah, transition again, going back to what I was saying, transitioning when I got out many years ago, it was a lot different than it is now, where there's a lot of programs and for veterans before 9/11 there really wasn't. And so you get a lot of World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and Desert Storm vets that come in and didn't know that there's things out there for them. So I mean it makes me happy to be able to help out those that need the assistance.
So. Yeah, I see it. I see it when you talk about it. I can see the passion that you have for
helping.
Yeah,
it's very emotional. You know, like I said, you know, 17 members of my family have served the Marine Corps.
Unbelievable.
You know, and that's just the Marine Corps. That's not even the other branches of service. So, it does hit deep down in our family, and to, you know, continue to pay forward and serve after the service. So
how does that happen to one family? 17 people.
I don't know. I mean, it's just
I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
you may be the largest military family in history. Yeah, for all
the
we
Cantu
know,
Cantu family is you know has a pretty good name with the Marine Corps. So, I don't know. Just kind of. You're born with it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, if you were going to the service, it was kind of, you know, you were kind of brainwashed that if you go in there, you're going to the Marine Corps. And so those of us that were that decided to go to the service, you know, we were going to serve the Marine Corps. Yeah. And it was probably the best decision I ever made.
Proud family.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I've got family members that are still serving right now. I got a Sergeant Major. He's in Virginia, and a young cousin that's out in San Diego area. So we're still serving.
He's David Cantu, Harris County Veteran Services. Tell us some of the other things you do. I know you're constantly seeking out people to educate them about what's available to them, but you do a lot of different things. I mean, I look at you and I think you're juggling a lot of different balls. You're always in meetings. You're moving. You're connecting with people. You're on the move 24/7, I'm thinking.
Well, you know, this job never ends because, you know, when people need assistance, you know, you don't know what time that is. It could be in the middle of the night and it could be during the day. And so someone needs to be available for them. And so, my phone does, you know, ring a lot. And sometimes I get the lick from the wife about, hey, you know.
Like having a doctor
it's
at
after,
home?
It's after hours. But, you know, you just don't know when somebody needs something. So. But, you know, being the president of the State Association of County Veteran Service Officers, you know, you get reached out to folks outside your area, and all you want to do is make sure they get connected to the region that they live in. So, it's very busy. I just got back from the White House. I was honored to be part of a meeting that the White House put together at the end of November. And so I learned a lot of things. And being at the state level, you're privy to a lot of things that you probably wouldn't be if you weren't at that position. So I'm honored to be able to learn from those meetings that I attend and then pass that word out to those that aren't fortunate to have the network that I do.
David Cantu joining us here in studio with the Harris County Veterans Services. 90 to 94, Corporal, United States Marine Corps, 17 members of his family serving in the Marines, which to me, I don't care about all the stats I threw out about Lionel Messi tonight. This is the biggest stat on this show that I've ever heard. Flipping that over, how'd you get interested in this show? And tell me about the soccer interest. Now, we know your wife, Natalie, is a big Manchester United fan. I've already shared my condolences with her because of Manchester City's 11-point lead out in the our so-called green room. Yeah. But how'd you get introduced to this show? And then tell me about your connection to soccer.
Well, I think I shared with you before that I was kind of a fair-weather soccer fan, just really watching the World Cup. And when I met my wife, who's from England, growing up in the, you know, as a teenager and a young man in the 80s, I liked the English music, the English dance music. And so when I met her, you know, she's from England, and I kind of grew up, you know, learning about English history. One of the things I learned from her is that she was a very passionate soccer fan. And so the very first time, I think it was 2003, I watched England versus France in the Euro, and to watch the passion of England singing their national anthem kind of gave me chills because I was like, wow, I wish, you know, some of us were like that. And so, I would always watch the soccer shows after that and the matches, and then started following those that, you know, were announcing or putting together shows about soccer because I wanted to learn more. And so, you know, when I got on Twitter, you know, there were certain things I was following, and of course, you know, the veterans and some of the programs out there, but also I was following those that were in soccer. And being from Houston, you know, I wanted to follow those that were doing things that for the soccer community here. And that's how I found you. And then following you, that's how I see about, I think you had tweeted something about World War II, and there was an anniversary, and you were proud about, say, my dad served there. And so, you know, here we are now, many years later. So
you and me traded a lot of emails before we got that first lunch, didn't we?
Yeah, we. It took
this was a long
years.
Courtship. I just wanted to let you know that, Natalie.
Yeah, yeah.
It was probably longer than you and David.
This is true, yeah, because we were married with 8 months. So, but when you know, you know. And she's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. And you know, my life is not the same because of her. And that's a positive thing.
Beautiful. And you know what? I've learned so much the couple of lunches we've had. I've learned so much. I've been so appreciative of, you know, just the care and the honoring, you know, that you've spoken about with my father, 91 years of age, and all the veterans, really, not just my dad, but all these guys who came before us, and boy, they were certainly a different breed.
Yeah, it's an honor. I mean, being a former Marine, of course, you know, you always want to take care of Marines, but we take care of everybody. And those, you know, no matter what branch of service that you you served in, you know, we're going to be here for you. And so it's an honor to help those that came before you. And in the Marine Corps, it's you're taught to honor those that came, no matter what branch of service. Yeah. But your dad being a World War II Marine and serving in the Pacific Theater in the Island Hopping Campaign, you know, for me, that's heard those stories when I was a young man, and to be able to pay it forward and bring things that to your dad, it means the world to me.
Last shout out for the website and any contact numbers you want to give.
Yeah,
go for
it. So for those of us, for those veterans that are looking to find out more information about the services or the entitlements that they may need or may be looking for, they can call the Harris County Veterans Office, and it's 281-876-6600. And the website is vcso.hctx.net.
David, thank you so much for coming up here, and I'm honored to be your friend.
Again,
well, that's if you consider me a friend. I might have to work a little bit harder for it.
Absolutely, no. I'm glad. Thank you for the opportunity to come over here and tell my story and the Cantu family story, because it's a very important story.
Unbelievable story. 17 family members, a part of the Marines.
Yes, sir.
Unbelievable. David, thank you for coming up.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right. It's David Cantu. And by the way, his wife, Natalie, here, David, Jacob here also, beautiful family and tremendous tremendous interview there with David. That's our segment that we're calling now. What are we calling this, Victor?
Out of the box.
Outside of the box. Yes. Jose Partida coming in. We had Bill Brown there. Former Astros play-by-play man as well. All right, so we'll take a break here. Thanks again to David Cantu for coming up in studio. We've got more to come here, including interviews with Warren Barton of Fox and also the new Dynamo goalkeeper signing in Chris Seitz. So stick with us. Bud Light, again, remind you, nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Going to take a Bud Light break.
ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We continue on with the best of 2017.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Bud Light reminds you, nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Bud Light knows that moments spent with friends are the ones that really matter. So look, grab a bucket of Bud Lights, get together with your friends, and make tonight tomorrow's story. Because remember, with Bud Light, you're not just drinking beer, you're building friendships. And I'll tell you, my thanks as always to Bud Light, the longtime support of soccer on the radio here. It goes way back, and specifically Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. So thank you, Bud Light. With that, one of the newest Dynamo signings, Chris Seitz, coming from FC Dallas, an outstanding goalkeeper here, spent 7 years in Dallas. He joins us now. Chris, first off, happy holidays, and thank you for coming on the program.
Hey, thanks, man. My pleasure.
Yeah, so we're excited about your signing. The first thing I want to just ask is, how did this come down with FC Dallas, and when did you learn about the impending move here to Houston?
Yeah, so let's see here. We knew at the end of the, probably halfway through the year, that I probably wasn't going to be re-signing there. That I wanted to test the free agency market and see what was out there, get a fresh start and really get a new perspective from a new coaching staff and a new opportunity and a new challenge. And once free agency opened, Houston was the first to call. Houston came in strong, and honestly, the situation there with the coaches and obviously Paul, the keeper coaches, is renowned. And I'm just excited to get down there and get to work and really start competing right away.
Yeah, how much does that come into play when you are examining potential places to continue your career? How much do you look at the influence of who you'll be working with as a goalkeeper coach?
Oh, it's huge. We're a small group of players, unique players in the league, and he's got a great resume, and he's got he's every guy I talk to, whether it's a keeper or someone that's worked with him. Even ex-players have only good things to say about him, and said that I'd absolutely love training with him. So I'm looking forward to it.
Chris Seitz joining us here on ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters. In 2007, Chris was fourth overall in the MLS Super Draft out of Maryland, that outstanding program. So your first 3 years in Salt Lake, you only play 7 games. Is there any point in a young goalkeeper's mind at that point where you're going, boy, did I make the right decision?
No, not really. I was constantly being called away to the U-20s and U-23s. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough in that during those 3 years to go to the Olympics and compete over there in Beijing. And we won an MLS Cup, and I learned a lot working with Nick Raimondo, Scott Garlick for a couple of weeks, and then they signed Raimondo. And for me, it was a heck of a learning experience. And when you turn professional, you look for those learning experiences to grow. And some keepers need a couple of years to get the game under their belt and really process everything and learn how to be a professional. I came into the league when I was 18, so I definitely needed some growing up to do at that point. And Salt Lake was a perfect club and a perfect system for me to do that in.
That's some things we forget, right? We forget that, it takes a while for all of this to come together. And in the case of goalkeepers, sometimes it seems you might even have a little bit more time to sort of mature your game and put all the components together.
Exactly. And goalkeepers, I'm still pretty young, so that's the positive end of all this. I get a fresh opportunity with a lot of years still ahead of me, and goalkeepers, they're better with age, and so I'm excited to get down and obviously meet the guys.
2010, then you go to the Philadelphia Union. After 3 years in Salt Lake, and you play 23 games that year, and that had to be some kind of a platform year for you from a playing perspective in MLS.
It was. It was kind of getting thrown out there, though. It was an expansion year for Philly, and for me, it was a big learning year as well. Obviously, I'd just come off winning the MLS Cup with Salt Lake and playing with a heck of a group of guys and guys that I'd known for quite some time. And Philly was just building their team, and that was their first year in the league, and it was an expansion team and everything that comes with that. But at the same time, those 23 games have helped shape me into the keeper I am today. And everything from learning what it's like to be a day-in, day-out starter, which is obviously it takes a little bit of learning to do. And at the same time, I learned how to deal with adversity there. And that's probably the biggest learning experience I can take away from Philly.
Then you go to FC Dallas, and of course, El Gato's there, Kevin Hartman. And you've been very astute here because you've made it very clear to all of us during this interview that you're learning things from different goalkeepers, different goalkeeper coaches. What did you learn from Kevin Hartman and being around him at FC Dallas before that big year you had in 2016?
Yeah, he's obviously a legend. You know, he's a guy that will always be considered as one of the best goalkeepers to play in MLS. And my 2 or 3 years with Kev here were awesome. We were roommates, and we obviously hung out a lot off the field. Our families got along really well. But on the field, I also learned a lot. He's a teacher of the game, so to be able to learn from him and train and compete with him on a daily basis was huge for me.
2016, 28 games for FC Dallas, 10 shutouts, Supporters Shield. This is an outstanding season. Tell me about that season and what it meant to you to put together that piece of body of work in 2016.
Yeah, it was huge. You know, that was really my biggest year professionally within the league, and a heck of a group of guys around me. But at that time, just being a day-in, day-out starter for the club that I had grown to be a big part of. I mean, I was at FC Dallas for 7 years, so there's a lot that goes into that. And being able to get out there, win Supporters Shield, to win the Open Cup, and really put a good body of work together with a group of guys that I absolutely love playing with was really special.
So now I'm going to take you into what I just think is amazing here. And I remember when this happened, and I just said to myself, wow, this guy is a special guy. I mean, I never met you. I knew who you were. This guy's a special guy. So you got registered as a bone marrow daughter back in the days at RSL when Andy Williams' wife was looking for a bone marrow match. And then all of a sudden you get this phone call. Just kind of take us through this, and you make the decision to put your career on hold to help a patient that's anonymous and who has leukemia. This really is remarkable. This is bigger than being a professional soccer player.
Yeah, no, it's actually a pretty funny story. I was sitting down playing video games with Eric Alexander and a couple other guys, and I got an email out of the blue randomly saying that it could possibly be a match. And I mean, I didn't know if it was a spam mail or what, because I had barely remembered even knowing what DKMS was, which was the name of the people that we swabbed through and got registered through. And that got followed up about 10 minutes later with a phone call from someone, and I sat down and I had the conversation with them and kind of explained to them my situation. We were in season, so that's a pretty tough thing to comprehend at that time when you're solely focused on outcomes and on a daily basis and a daily grind. So sat down, had a conversation with them, kind of learned about the whole experience. I had some knowledge because my father had actually 3 months prior been a match. Well, actually, it was probably right during this time. My father was going through the bone marrow donor stages for my uncle. And so we knew how much it meant to our family and how close it hit home to me. And it was just something that I really felt like I needed to do and wanted to do. I mean, my wife was pregnant with our first at that time. And to be the dad that I want to be, or to be the person that I want to be, it's just something that I felt like if I have this opportunity, I have to dive head in and go for it.
Well, you did, and I'm not sure that that's a really amazing decision you made, and certainly a selfless one, and I think everybody really appreciates that. And I think to this day, you know, when I read that story, I just think it's absolutely remarkable and very giving, and tells you a lot about I believe the person. Okay, let's lighten it up a little bit, Chris. Yeah. Your favorite goalkeeper in the world, and one that maybe you like watching, or give me one or two.
Okay, well, growing up, Carlos Cudicini was one of my favorite goalkeepers. Oh. He played for Chelsea at the time. I absolutely loved watching him growing up. From there, it was probably Brad Friedel and Tim Howard. Went American route from there. I really enjoy watching O'Block play right now, as well as Courtois, probably, are two of my favorites to watch. I think that he is amazing. I definitely am a different style than he is, and so I love watching him play, but I am more fascinated with O'Block and Courtois and kind of their techniques.
Now, what about Ederson at Manchester City? Because Pep Guardiola finally found his guy that's absolutely remarkable with his feet, but also is a good shot stopper, an excellent goalkeeper as well. I sit in awe at how that guy's range of passing and how he hits stuff short to people and drops stuff into their feet. He's pretty remarkable to me. Do you think he's, in kind of a small way, redefining the goalkeeper position a little bit?
I think you can see within the last 5 or 6 years the position changed quite a bit. You can even look within MLS to see that style change as well, and the amount of teams that are forcing their players to play encouraging their players to play and play out of the back and really play a more possession oriented game. You look at Columbus, you look at NYCFC, you look at Toronto. These teams are built off of possession, and there's more teams that are trying to do that. And I think he has come in and obviously came into City and has done an unbelievable job. I remember watching him a year or two ago over in Portugal and playing for his club there and thinking this guy makes big saves, thinking this guy has what it takes to play there, but I didn't know how the transition would work to the English game, because the English game is quite a bit different. And he's had an unbelievable start to the year for sure.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. He's fun to watch. I mean, it's almost like Steph Curry in basketball. You know, he's so unique to the position in some ways that it kind of draws you to it.
Oh, yeah.
If I ask you to define yourself as a goalkeeper, what type of goalkeeper are you?
that's always a tough question. I think I'm a very vocal leader from the back. A guy that would rather get his defenders and midfielders and forwards in the right position to limit my jobs and my the amount of action I have to face. Organizing is something in formations and shapes are something that I dive headfirst into and study quite a bit. So making sure all the guys are correctly placed and in the right places to limit what we have to do defensively. At the same time, I like to think I'm a good shot stopper, as well as I have good range on crosses and corner kicks or that such. But I'm definitely one part of my game that I've constantly strived to improve has been my feet. In the last couple of years with FC Dallas, we've really been putting emphasis on that as well, as the trend has gone that direction. And I like to think that I've gotten a lot better with my feet as well.
Well, Chris, listen, thank you very much for coming on tonight. We wish you the best of luck here in Houston and getting settled, and also wish you the best of luck over the holidays, and hope you have a great time with your family and friends. And we look forward to seeing you in goal for the Houston Dynamo in 2018.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Chris Seitz, Dynamo goalkeeper, new signing. Great story there in so many different ways, and a real veteran in the league at 30 years of age will come to the Houston Dynamo. Had that outstanding season in 2016 where he had 10 shutouts when FC Dallas won the Supporters Shield. So it's going to be exciting to have Chris here in Houston. We'll take a quick break. Before we go to break here, though, a quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Bud Light knows that moments spent with friends are the ones that really matter. So grab a bucket of Bud Lights, get together with your friends, and make tonight tomorrow's story. Remember, with Bud Light, you're not just drinking beer, you're building friendships. And personally, my thanks is always to Bud Light for their longtime support of Soccer on the Radio, and specifically Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Thank you, Bud Light, and we will take a Bud Light break.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Hey, Sean Salisbury here, and I got to let you know about a product that has changed my life. It's called MyPillow. Folks, I used to wake up sore from head to toe. I even experienced headaches. Now, for the first time in years, I wake up feeling great. It's amazing how much difference a good pillow can make. Listen to this new offer. It's the lowest pricing MyPillow has ever offered. Buy one pillow and get one absolutely free. Just go to MyPillow.com and make sure to use the promo code ESPNQB. That's ESPNQB. Isn't it time you got rid of that old, nasty, flat, disgusting, saliva-stained pillow you've been covering up with a pillowcase? Nasty. MyPillow is 100% machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. To get MyPillow's lowest offer ever, just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener special and use my promo code ESPNQB, or call 800-951-3938, 800-951-3938, and ask for the radio listener special. Use my promo code ESPNQB to get the buy one, get one free offer. You can also use our promo code to get up to 50% off all items on the MyPillow website. That's MyPillow.com.
Hey, Glenn Davis here for Liberty Kitchen. You know, Liberty Kitchen knows how to serve it up, whether it's lunch, brunch, or supper. Think of it as modern American comfort food. Some of the staples at Liberty Kitchen include deviled eggs topped with fried oysters, cowboy surfers, oysters on the half shell, grilled chops and steaks, ribs, and fish. Liberty Kitchen's signature cocktails, plus always cold beer on tap. Now you know why Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop. Liberty Kitchen, Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, and Treehouse, Memorial City. Hey, I'm Glenn Davis. Hope the holidays are going great for you. We have assembled some of your favorite interviews from throughout 2017, so listen and enjoy.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, time now for a quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm as we welcome you back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. John and his firm, the Daspit Law Firm, are attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. We don't want to get in an accident, but if we do, car, boat, motorcycle, industrial construction, plant or refinery, 18-wheeler, it doesn't matter. We need representation. The Daspit Law Firm will treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. They'll work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. 713-322-HURT. Go to the website for advice at DaspitLaw.com. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And we bring in now Fox analyst, former Newcastle defender. He's Warren Barton. Warren, thank you very much for coming on. Happy holidays to you.
Always a pleasure, my friend. No problem.
Well, we're going to start it off with what was a pretty shocking loss in the Caribou Cup today. Manchester United losing to Bristol City in stoppage time on a goal from Corey Smith. There was a pitch invasion after. Let's first look at this from the perspective of Manchester United and the manager, Jose Mourinho.
I think you'd be, you know, disappointed. Is it the end of the world? No. But I think from his chance of being winning a trophy, being involved, he'll be disappointed. It was always going to be a tricky tie. You know, Bristol were doing well in the championship. Their home fans are excellent. They get behind the team. But from Mourinho's point of view, it's not the end of the world. He's got bigger fish to fry, but he will be disappointed. His ego will be hit, and so it should be. And for some of the players as well, you know, it'd be hard for them to take. But, you know, Bristol deserved it. You know, I know United had a couple of opportunities, hit the crossbar, hit the woodwork once on the post. But by and large, it was quite an even game. So when it's all said and done, become May and June, is it going to define United's season? Probably not.
United did field the lineup with Paul Pogba, Marcus Rashford, Anthony Martial, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. So nobody can give this argument or condition this result from Bristol with the old, hey, they didn't play their regulars.
No, I mean, I was hearing some people say they're not first-team starters listening on another radio channel. But, you know, Zlatan, Pogba, Rashford, Martial, these are all good players. And for them to be knocked out, and I've had it, Glenn, I've had it myself when you've been beaten by a lesser team, the team that's in the Championship or the First Division. It's their cup final. The energy, like you said, there was a pitch invasion. And sometimes when you're one of the big boys, you know, you're not motivated as well as you should have been. And they get you on an off day. But there's enough quality and players out there that would walk into any EPL team and be a starter. So I don't think people should hide behind the fact that it was a lesser team, because it wasn't.
Warren Barton joining us, Fox analyst. Let's also take it from the perspective of Bristol City. I mean, this is a historic win for them, and as you mentioned, well-deserved.
Yeah, I mean, very much so. I mean, a great club. It's always been well-supported. I've played there numerous times. The fans really get behind where they are in the West Country of England. And the revenue, the prestige, the glamour. But obviously their big focus will be trying to get promotion into the Premier League. It may give them some money to go into that transfer window to bring other players in. But I really enjoyed the style of football that they played. It wasn't just kicking it forward and hoping. They played with some good possession. They went toe-to-toe. And the revenue that comes with it. And just a special, special night in their history, because you're right, it's against Manchester United, against Mourinho, Zlatan, Pogba. You know, the list goes on and on. So it's a special night for their fans. And, you know, revenue will give them good money to bring players in. And obviously they look forward to a tie against Manchester City.
So Daley Blind, Mkhitaryan, are these guys in that proverbial Jose Mourinho doghouse?
No, I just think he's always been like that. He's put pressure on his players, and I've been in squads where these players are trying to push forward. Mkhitaryan has lost a little bit of form. I think you look on Mourinho's history, he's looking for a reaction. Now, if that's Danny Blind walking out of the club and leaving, or Mkhitaryan rolling his sleeves up and pushing for a starting spot, there's no doubt at the beginning of the season, Mkhitaryan was in great form. But the expectation and the pressure of playing for Man United can drain you and can take a lot out of you as an individual and your confidence. So they need to respond. Mourinho will be looking for that. If they don't, then there'll be ex-Manchester United players, and that's the business that you're in.
Warren Barton joining us here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Wishing all of you happy holidays out there. Switching gears to Manchester City now, 11 points up. Is this all about them and just not running into injuries? You know, you got people saying this is already over, Warren, and the likes of Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, Manchester United. It's all about second, third, and fourth now. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and the reason I felt like that, I tweeted after the Southampton game when Sterling put one in the top corner with literally seconds to go. Them type of things are defining moments, because fans would have been watching the game, players of Man United and Chelsea and even the managers, although they say they don't watch it, they would have been watching the game. And when that goes in, it's a big dagger. I still think there's going to be a race, Glenn. I really do. I don't think it's over by enough, but I'm not sure whether there's enough games in between that they're going to slip up four or five wins and United are going to go unbeaten for the rest of the season, or Chelsea are going to be unbeaten. So I think it's down to Manchester City. Depending how far they go in the Champions League, and I've said with City, with the chances that they've got with being in the luck of the round and who you come up against, that they could go all the way and potentially win this competition, that may be a distraction. But I still believe, Glenn, they've got enough cushion between now until that happens, which may be semi-finals, quarter-finals in April, May. They've got resources, got a manager now that respects and understands the league, and I think that's a as well.
So let's talk a little bit about Pep Guardiola, and obviously the pressure of being the superstar manager. There's a lot of people hoping he fails. He took a lot of criticism last year. But the bottom line is, in 1 year, it looks as though this guy has figured out the Premier League.
Yeah, I don't know. Jealousy with Pep, because I love him. I think the way he tries to play the game, the way he tries to get the best out of his players, you know, the way he has that enthusiasm for the game and that love and desire. Yes, he's had all the money. Yes, he can change players around, but he's still trying to do it, I think, the right way of playing football. Yes, at Barcelona he had Messi. Yeah, at Bayern Munich they were the best team. But you've still got to be able to get the best out of players, and he's been able to do that. So, yeah, of course, people want to see how good he will be under adversity, and that's still to come. I think there's still ups and downs in his career. They're talking about him signing a new contract. He's doing this, Glenn, in arguably the toughest league in the world. And he's doing it in the style of football. So, yes, you know, I love what he's doing. I can see why people do get a bit envious of him. But there's no doubt about his style of football and him as a person that he wants the best for the game. I would love to have him at my club. I'd love to have him coaching the US national team, because I think he would do it the right way, and he's always trying to get the best out of his players. So I don't think there's anything really wrong with what he's doing. But I do understand that he has all the money. He's gone to some of the biggest clubs, but he's still being successful.
Yeah, that notion that he has it easy because of resources, that can in some cases make it even more difficult. I want to go to a signing that he made, though, that I think is just one of the most unique signings, incredible signings, and that's Ederson in goal, with that unique playing style, range of passing, great feet. He found his man to fill that role at goalkeeper. Now, he's probably exceeded a lot of people's expectations, but he's agile, he's great with his feet, but the caveat here is he's also good with his hands, and he's a very good shot stopper. So he finally got the guy who can do both.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. When Bravo come in, and I had this conversation with Brad Friedel about how Pep wants to play. First and foremost, I want a goalkeeper that will save a shot, that will make a save that keep you in the game at that level, at the highest level. You want a goalkeeper. Now, whether that's been Shaka or Shay Given or David Seaman when I played with them, they make the big saves that keep you in a game. That's why they're good goalkeepers. And that wasn't happening with Bravo. He might have been good with his feet. He might have been able to pass and chip a ball 30, 40 yards. But, you know, once people knew what they was doing, people's going to start asking questions. That's why the league is so tough, because, you know, people will start trying to find a weakness, trying to find an avenue that they can exploit. But this kid, as you said, he has presence, he has stature, and he saves goals. He makes very good saves at the right time, as well as being phenomenal with his feet. He reminds me a little bit of Fabian Barthez when he first came to Manchester United, with that delivery, being able to ping a ball like 40, 50 yards to someone's chest. You know, they highlighted it on NBC the other day, and to be able to do that from his goal line without much backlift is phenomenal. But again, going back to what he's a good goalkeeper. And he's not an outfield player that's in goal. He's a good goalkeeper as well. So you're right. They spent $40 million getting it, and they wasted $15 million on Bravo and got rid of Joe Hart. But at the end of the day, they seem like they've got a young, outstanding goalkeeper for years to come. So that may turn out, Glenn, as you rightly said, one of the bargains of Pep's reigns at Manchester City.
You know what was amazing, Warren? And I know you saw this when they were playing Spurs, and they beat Spurs 4-1, and Spurs were standing a guy on their two outside backs to cut that pass off. And, I mean, he's hitting stuff short and dropping it into people's feet over distance. I mean, there's so much purpose and intent. You know, he's not just smacking it to the halfway line as far as he can. He's hitting balls short to guys coming back to it off the halfway line. I just thought it was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, and also, Glenn, I've seen him just kick the ball out of the stadium. I've seen him being under pressure, last moment, winning 1-0, someone's closing you down, there's no other avenue, and just whacking it off the field. I've seen him do that, and that's someone that understands the moment of the game that they're in. But you're right, he was able to chip it over Ericsson and Dyer and put it onto Walker's little toe so he can control it and go forward. That's how good this kid is. He's not just hitting it at his chest or around his neck or into his stomach. He's putting it right on Kyle Walker's right foot or do from the left-hand side, so he can control it and go forward. So great credit to him. But like I said, I've also seen him smash one out of the park as well, because he knows he's under pressure.
Yeah, he's something else. He's fun to watch. He makes the position even more unique, I think, in some ways.
Hey, I'm not sure about the tattoos, though, my friend. That's the only thing, but call me old-fashioned.
Well, you know, I may be the only guy on the planet who doesn't have a tattoo. I don't know about you, but... Yeah. Anyway.
No, I haven't got one. Me and you both. We're too old, my friends. Yeah, we've had our time. There's no point now.
Yeah, it becomes a bad look for me personally. I know that. But
it becomes a midlife crisis if you have one.
Yeah, unless you're a rocker.
exactly.
Last one here. Antonio Conte makes a statement to his team that the title is gone in the Premier League. He says it publicly. He's quoted in the newspaper. Is that something, Warren, you want to say to your team, or is there something else behind this in trying to take the pressure off of the Blues?
No. I think he's been bluntly honest. And you're right. Maybe that's something in the locker room. He may say, look, I've said that, but we ain't going to give this up. Or he may genuinely think that. And I think genuinely, knowing the game, as we all do, he knows they ain't going to give it up, you know, by 12 points. They're not going to have a slide, and Chelsea are not going to win all their games. So I think it was just blatantly being honest. And the British media are normally not used to that. They always think, oh, there's an agenda. Oh, there's a little twist. It's the mind games. I just think he genuinely thinks, we're not going to give up. I'm going to keep on fighting. But if you're asking me now, I think the title's over. And I think that was him just being totally honest as a football man, as a soccer man that he is.
Arsenal and Liverpool is going to kick off a run of a ton of games coming up here on Friday. Where do you think Jurgen Klopp is right now?
I think he's in a good spot, and I think he's gone through a period of time at Liverpool, a bit like what Pep did last year. Because when Klopp first came, it was all new, it was exciting. I love the snarling in, and then again, as the EPL does, and the British media and English fans as players, they start asking questions. They start questioning you, and he felt it very uncomfortable. But I think he's come through that time, like the Everton result. Then they're drawing another game against West Brom. And I think he thought, well, we've gone away, we've won a game, we're playing football. Now I know what I'm up against and what I need to do. So, you know, I think, as always, Glenn, and what I love about good coaches and good players, you learn by your mistakes. And I think he realises that he's got a good team. He needs to add at the back. Lovren got a goal, which would be a pleasing sign. He took him off and got a round of applause. That man management skill. And he knows if they're in the pack of that third, maybe even second, but definitely third and fourth spot, that they're in that run, and they, you know, obviously with the Champions League as well. I think he realises that he's come through this period, that he knows what to expect, and it's always learning and always a challenge. And I think he understands that now, and I like him. I've got a lot of time for him. I think he's a very good student of the game. I think there's more to this jumping up and down and kissing the shirt. I think he realises that now. And I think we're seeing one of the best German coaches that we've seen for many, many a year, because, you know, there's no doubt Borussia Dortmund have missed him. And he's definitely making Liverpool, I think, a better team, and giving them that European respect that they deserve, which they had in the 70s and 80s and, you know, in the 90s as well.
To truly take Liverpool to where he would want to take it, does he need more resources?
Yes. Yeah, I still think, if you ask me, another $100 million away. Now, whether that's an outstanding goalkeeper, if we spoke about Manchester City, a dominant centre-half, maybe even a good, strong, patrolling Casemiro-like centre-midfield player. Mm-hmm. Offensively going forward, they're breathtaking, and they can rotate that with players that have coming in. But they're the three avenues I would look at and say, is there a goalkeeper? Is there a dominant centre-half? And have we got a Casemiro or Makélélé player that will do discipline work for Liverpool home and away? Because I think that's an area that they've missed.
Warren, you're the best. We really appreciate you coming on. Great little tips here heading into what is going to be a lot of great Premier League watching over the holidays. Thank you very much. As always, for coming on, and I hope you have great holidays. I'm sure it's not going to snow in San Diego, but I'm sure there's a few Christmas trees up there anyway.
Happy holidays, my friend, and to your viewers as well. Thanks, my friend.
That's Warren Barton, Fox analyst, Newcastle defender. We really have appreciated his contributions quite regularly here on this show throughout 2017. I love the way he breaks games down. Very strong opinions, gets right to it, and makes for tremendous listening, and whether he's on TV viewing. We do appreciate that. That'll wrap it up here. Wishing everybody a Merry Christmas. Before we go, just a real quick shout out here to King's Court. The real soccer pub in Edo is the King's Court, right next to the stadium at 903 Hutchins. 13 screens, giant big screen at the King's Court, showing Premier League, La Liga, Champions League, Bundesliga, the Dynamo, Major League Soccer, and more. King's Court has 24 taps, a full bar, extensive selection of spirits, and great pub food. I recommend the butter chicken, by the way, or the curry. Get over to King's Court. Visit the amazing rooftop deck that sits in the shadows of the stadium. Say hello to Jay. KingsCourtTX.com. So that does it tonight for this version of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. 2017 best of. I hope you enjoyed, and I hope you are enjoying the holidays. A quick thank you to Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor. Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, Liberty Kitchen, The Flat Houston, flathouston.com, Gorgeous Gale, Carlsberg, King's Court, Azure Salon, and Bud Light. We thank all of you for their great support throughout the year of this soccer program in Houston. And to you, the listeners, and to you, the callers throughout the year, we thank you for making soccer on the radio important. Until next week, I'm Glenn Davis.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.